Who's running Europe's economic policy this morning? If you thought it was the Germans, well, perhaps not anymore. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. What had been a stable rudder for the European economy has left the region somewhat adrift this morning after talks aimed at forming a ruling coalition in Germany fell apart last night. Yes, Chancellor Angela Merkel's party won the most votes in a general election in September, but not enough to rule outright. New elections may now be on the way. How are market participants viewing this? Let's turn to Carsten Brzeski, chief economist for ING in Germany, the big bank there. I asked if this is distracting Germany from its economic policy leadership role.
I think they clearly are. I think they were surprised that this happened. I think it's the first time ever that German politics has become unstable. And this now means they first have to solve this instability issue, this domestic political issue, before they can actually move on to solve the other pressing European issues.
So many market participants would like to have a sense of where German economic policy might be going, but that's not answerable at this point.
It's not answerable at all. I think the only upside is that the German economy is doing extremely well right now. And we've seen this in other European countries, that actually having a caretaking government is not the worst thing at all, at least if your economy is doing well currently. But for the longer term, it is an issue, because when you look at the German economy, as strong as it is right now, there has been a lack of new structural reforms. There is a clear lack of investment, especially in digitalization. Here, a new government is urgently needed, and I'd say every day wasted could actually put the future of the German economy at risk.
All right. Well, we'll certainly be watching. Carsten Brzeski is chief economist for ING in Germany. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
The euro surged initially on the news that coalition talks fell apart in Germany, but it's down at the moment to the dollar, down a tenth percent at $1.17.8. Let's do some other numbers. The 100 share index in London is up less than a tenth of a percent. The DAX index in Germany is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed to little change. The Dow future up just 2 points. 10-year Treasury yield is down at the moment, 2.34%. Toshiba has to fill a multi-billion-dollar financial hole arising from its bet gone sour on U.S.'s nuclear technology. But today it may get a new injection of money to help bring its net worth from negative to positive, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Toshiba faces some $6 billion in liabilities because its U.S. subsidiary Westinghouse is in bankruptcy. Westinghouse's problem is a deal to build nuclear power plants in the U.S. that ran way late and over budget. Allison McFarlane, former chair of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, says Westinghouse hired a construction firm that struggled to build the key technical modules.
And they kept making these modules incorrectly, so they would be shipped to the reactor sites, and then they would have to be rewelded.
Toshiba's financial issues have the Tokyo Stock Exchange threatening to delist the company. Now, Toshiba's trying to raise $18 billion by selling its memory chip business. But Johns Hopkins economist Arthur Alexander says it got slowed by government fears that key technology could go to Chinese investors. He says new investment could come today in the form of cash.
They're not going to get any keys to the kingdom. They're not going to get any industrial secrets or technology out of it.
A deal would reportedly be for $5 billion. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Former Obama administration officials leading a team that is now offered to buy the disgraced Weinstein movie studio. Maria Contreras Sweet used to run the Small Business Administration. Reuters says the offer is for $275 million. Now, if the deal goes through, the plan is to set up a majority female board and establish a $30 million fund for victims. Harvey Weinstein denies having engaged in any non-consensual sex. This is the case that may be changing American culture. As we continue our coverage of harassment and assault in the workplace, we check in from time to time with Jillian Thomas, senior staff attorney with the Women's Rights Project at the American Civil Liberties Union. Jillian, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
What's broken beyond the predators themselves? I mean, is the law somehow insufficient?
I think that the law has really gone as far as it can in this area. I don't think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what's illegal. I think we have a cultural problem here and a problem of employers not dealing with that culture.
Not dealing, not enforcing, not informing employees about what's right and what's wrong?
All of the above. And I think a number one thing that employers should be doing that they haven't done is make, aside from putting out policies and having the trainings and doing the things on paper they should do, real accountability. People getting fired. If this stuff is happening, people getting fired. Consequences are what change behavior.
You say the law has gone about as far as it can, and now it's the culture that has to change. But how severe or pervasive does it have to be for it to count as sexual harassment?
In 1986, the Supreme Court announced the standard for hostile work environment harassment, and that is harassment that is severe or pervasive, not both. That's a common misunderstanding. So the severe part is actually easier to understand. A single act could create an unlawful environment if it were severe enough, i.e., an attempted assault or an assault. One is enough. You've got liability there. Pervasive is harder, and it can mean a lot of things. And the legal standard, again, not a model of precision, is the totality of the circumstances. Is it pervasive within the totality of the circumstances? So, for instance, it could be one construction work site where women are surrounded 24/7 by porn and lewd talk and men exposing themselves. And that could be one example of pervasiveness within an environment. Or it could be one woman and one harasser, and the harassment takes place frequently and over a period of years. It has to be severe or pervasive to the extent that a reasonable person would find it abusive. So these men who say, oh, I can't compliment her just once, I can't say anything, no one's going to say that that's illegal.
Always good to talk to Jillian Thomas, a senior staff attorney with the Women's Rights Project at the American Civil Liberties Union. Her book is called Because of Sex. Jillian, thank you.
Thank you.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.